Today we play Black Gold Golf Club in Orange County, California.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week you'll get inside information on how to lower your scores through strategy and course management. We'll ask course pros, designers, and architects to reveal their secrets in an effort to improve your game. If you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, subscribe to the Golf Smarter podcast. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for joining us. Today we'll be discussing the shot strategy for Black Gold Golf Club in Yorba Linda, California, with Black Gold's director of golf, Eric Lohman. But before we tee off, Eric, why don't you give us an overview of the course?
Well, Black Gold Golf Club, located in the foothills of Yorba Linda, is a typical risk-reward type of golf course. It's an Arthur Hills design and opened up November 16th of 2001. And like most of Arthur Hills designs, there is a lot of fun shots to be had out on the golf course. And if you are the aggressive type of player, the course can be very fulfilling. And if you hit it off center and you get a little too greedy, it can be quite penalizing as well.
So then this kind of golf management skills could be very helpful for a player.
I would imagine so. I think Black Gold, you probably need to play it two or three times to fully understand the nuances around it. So I'll try to help you guys out today with giving you the best insight I can.
Yeah, well, let's just take away the first time jitters away from a golfer and help them out for the first time. We're not going to cover every hole on this show, but I think we should talk about maybe the six more difficult holes.
Great.
Is it a walking course?
If you're a billy goat, the golf course, we actually require you to take a cart. We have a nice GPS system on it. But the golf course kind of goes, it meanders through a park setting and then it meanders through a home development. So the distance between greens and tees can be quite severe at times and a little lengthy. So I do recommend that you take a cart, and we actually mandate that as well.
And you guys have a driving range if we need to practice first? Or what
we have
kind
a very
of
nice practice facility. We have a couple practice bunkers. It's really state-of-the-art, and I think it's a great way to either warm up a round or if you need a little extra work after the round to spend some time with one of our instructors as well.
And how far from the practice facility is the first tee?
The practice facility, the first tee, is probably about 300 yards. Okay. The first tee sits just south, east of the, or southwest, I mean, of the driving range. So it's actually very close proximity, and everything's kind of right there where you need to find it. As long as you're here a half hour before your tee time, that still gives you enough time to hit a couple warm-up shots and hit down to the practice green and get your speed down for the greens and get you over the first tee in a timely manner.
Okay, great. And you know, one of the questions I didn't ask you, what's the total length of your course?
The total length, 6,756 yards. We have five sets of tees. They stretch all the way from 6,800 yards down to about 4,900 yards. So we have a lot of good choices there for all different types of players and ability levels.
Well, why don't we head over to hole number five. It's a par four, and it's the number one handicap hole on the course.
Great. Hole number five is one of my favorite holes. It's a tough little devil. You hit kind of through a little bit of a chute. There's a cluster of fairway bunkers on your right-hand side that are, let's assume we're all playing all these holes off of the white tees. They're about 220 yards off the right-hand side. And then there's another bunker that's that kind of segments the fairway on the left-hand side at about 250 yards. So it does kind of look, by the look of the eye, it asks for you, if you're a right-handed player, to hit a slight power fade. If you can hit a drive over 220 yards, you can cut off a little bit of a dog leg. But you kind of go up a chute and you hit a landing area that if you don't hit the right center of the fairway, your next shot would be a blind shot to the green because the left side of the fairway is blocked by the lip of a fairway bunker and by a hill that you have to navigate around.
So I'm looking at one of the drawings here that I pulled off the web.
Yeah.
What is my target from that tee shot? Am I aiming for that bunker?
You know what? I think that if you're a long hitter, you go over the cluster of the bunkers on the right-hand side.
Okay.
Knowing that if you push the ball, you do bring in the out-of-bounds on the right-hand side. If you're a medium to a shorter hitter, I recommend that you take the bunker on the left-hand side as the middle of the fairway and try to drive it right to parallel with the cluster of bunkers. So again, it's one of those, it's a typical Arthur Hills. If you have, you know, if you can hit the ball a little bit longer, you have a little bit better control of your driver, I recommend either hitting a large, you know, power fade or hitting a straighter ball that goes over that cluster of bunkers that'll bring in that secondary fairway that's above those bunkers.
And the second shot, is that going to be a blind shot?
It depends. If you're in the right, if you hit it far enough and you're in the right side of the fairway, then it isn't blind. But if you hit a shorter drive or you're in the left-hand side of the fairway, then the next shot might be blind. The green, which is a great green, it's got some bunkers on the left-hand side, and it's got a surround on the right that every ball that you miss it by a foot to the right will will kind of roll down a steep hill. That'll leave you like a 20 to 30 yard kind of pitch shot up this hill back to the green. The green is actually very narrow, and it sits up a little bit. It's a little bit elevation on it as well. So you definitely have to be on the stick. If you're too far right or left, you definitely will miss the green. You can go a little long and a little short and still stay on it.
And according to this photo that I'm looking at, or the drawing that I'm looking at, the green depth is 38 yards. Is that a normal size green for
Black
Gold?
No, it's not. Actually, Black Gold has some pretty nice size greens, but that is probably the deepest or longest green we have on the golf course. There's a couple maybe on the back nine, some of the par fives that are equally as large. But from front to back, it's probably as deep as any green that we have on the course. Now, narrowness from left to right, it's one of the more narrow greens that we have on the course.
So we're going to move on now to actually the next hole because it's the handicap five. And hole number six, par five. What's our target?
Excellent. The target here, it's you can cut off some of the fairway if you want. There's a bunker on your left hand side of the fairway. If you're a medium hitter, that's where we kind of ask you to aim at. If you're a longer hitter, you can hit a fade off the bunker or cut a little bit more off the right-hand side. There is a large riparian area, which essentially is a native habitat that looks like it's a lake that's just empty of water. It's a reservoir for drainage. You want to, the farther you go right, the more of that you actually have to cut off. From the back tees, you probably have to hit it about 220, 230 to clear it. From the white tees, you're looking right around maybe 180 to 200 yards to clear the far right. So I definitely think a target is somewhere left center of the fairway and hit it as hard as you can.
Okay, and that water is more of a psychological barrier than anything else.
Right, because it's a native habitat, so when it rains it kind of fills up with water, but most of the time it appears to be like a dry lake with a lot of foliage in it. But it definitely, if you're a long hitter, you can go over it, but if you're probably between the 180 to 220 driver's distance, then I'd recommend going a little bit farther to the left side of the fairway.
Okay, and then we're going to go to our second shot because it is a par five, and because we're playing from the white tees, and thank you for doing that for us.
Oh, no problem.
Because that's where I'm going to be playing from. What do you recommend that we do next?
You know what? I think that this is a shot that, if you want to lay up, you don't need a whole lot to lay up. You probably only need to hit it 120 to 130 yards. If you're going to go for it, the problem being is the green, again, is very narrow and very deep. So you have to be on it. The green actually slopes from the front right to the back left. So there is going to be any type of spin going to the left where the ball will run off into a surround. There's a huge cavernous bunker on the right-hand side of the green, and then a bunker behind that as well. So the green has a lot of hazards around it. So if you are going to go for it in two, you definitely have to have the correct yardage. There isn't a whole lot of room to run the ball up on it. I would recommend probably erring on the left-hand side a little bit more than the bunker on the right, only because the face of that bunker is actually pretty steep.
Is that second shot pretty inviting?
You know, I think it's very inviting. And what's great about it is you look straight out towards the Newport Coast and the Anaheim Hills, and there's a great view. But the problem that most people don't sense, because on that hole there's some wind. The natural wind is a 5 to 10 mile an hour wind that comes, in the afternoons at least, that comes off the coast. So it blows right to left, and the green sits right to left, and the green slopes right to left. So to hit it and keep it on that green, you really have to hit a pretty finite shot. And you got to be careful, because if you hook the ball, the wind will take it and pull your ball even off the green, off the surround, and possibly out of bounds. So once you play it a few times, I would definitely recommend trying to hit a little less club and favor the left side, knowing that a really far left is even worse than far right.
Awesome. Thanks. Let's move on to number eight now, because that's going to be handicap number three, the third hardest hole in the front nine.
Yeah, this is a real doozy, and it's been recognized as one of the toughest par threes in all of Southern California.
Actually. Is that right?
From the back tees, you're looking at about 230 to the green. From the white tees, you're right around 170. I would recommend on this hole that you take a good look at how the wind's blowing, because, again, if the wind's blowing, the natural breeze will blow your ball right to left. You have to play a little bit of the wind if you want to try to hit the green. It's actually a very large green that's segmented in the middle of the green with a break. So if the pin's back right or front left, you have to pay attention to that, because you don't want to be on the opposite side of the green, because two-putting would be almost impossible for the average player. One of the safe areas to bail out would be the surround to the left side of the green. It's a little bit more accommodating to the right bunker that borders the green, or the slopes that slope off the green to the right. So I would recommend probably starting a shot either at the right center or center of the green, letting the wind blow it a little bit, or the natural wind blow it a little bit to the left, hopefully catching the left edge of the green.
And that green is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work because it's kind of segmented with a slope right in the middle of it. You're either going to be on the front left or the bottom right, which goes farther back behind that bunker. So I definitely recommend that if you do miss the green, that you try to miss it near where the pin is. So you definitely want to have your yardages correct.
So you're really shooting to try to get a par on this hole. Birdies are going to be tough.
You know, I've played it many times, and I think a birdie is a rarity. And I think that this would be one of the holes that if you could, and there's only a few of them at Black Gold, probably five that we spoke about earlier, hole 8, hole 12 sometimes. 11 and 12 can be a little bit difficult if it gets a little narrow. But there's only a few holes at Black Gold that you truly want to escape with a par. Hole 16 is another one. It's another par 3. The rest of them really have great opportunities for birdies or good scores. But only about those three or four holes would I be more cautious about.
All right. We're going to stop for a sandwich and a short break, and we'll be right back.
As we make the turn, we want you to know that we're taking requests. If you'd like us to feature a specific course on Golf Smarter, our email address is golfsmarter@teetour.com. That's golfsmarter, one word, at teetour.com. Whether you're planning a golf vacation, playing in an upcoming tournament, or have a favorite course for which you have a question, please let us know and we'll do a show just for you. Again, here's your host for Golf Smarter, Fred Green.
The purpose of Golf Smarter is to provide course management skills. But beyond knowing where to hit, there are various shot selections that will also improve a player's round. Eric, help us out. Which type of these shots should a player practice before they play at Black Gold?
Well, great. I definitely think the types of shots that you should practice before you get to Black Gold. One would be having a shot that doesn't require you to hit a driver. So either hitting like a long iron or a 3-wood off a tee. That'll kind of get you in play on some of the more narrow holes. I think that you want to be able to hit a shot that you have control over in the wind, because some of the holes will be the wind will play a little bit of a factor, or the breeze. It's really not a wind. It's more like a breeze in the afternoon. But you have to be able to register that and be able to either hold a shot up against it or ride the wind for your favor. I think that, you know, some lag putting would probably come in some help because some of the greens are quite large. And if you hit the green but miss the right side of the green, you will have a long undulating putt that might be a little bit difficult, so you want to get used to the lag putting. And, you know, it's not a shot, but the one thing I do recommend that people, when they come out and play Black Gold, because we do sit up on a side of a hill, you definitely want to be able to hit shots that are like below your feet, above your feet, downhill, uphill, just to have that, you know, experience so that when you do face a few of those at Black Gold, they don't jump up and surprise you. And with that, also on the greens, you got to be able to read the greens correctly. And you can't sometimes if you just read it from one side. You have to read it from the other side to see if you actually caught the break correctly or the slope. Because when you are positioned up on a side hill, sometimes even the most obvious greens, when you think they're going to break a certain way, they break the opposite way because of the effect that the green has against the hills behind us, and then the foreground being the communities around us. So it's the horizon does play a little bit of a trickery on the eyes around here.
Interesting. Hey, how about your practice putting green? Does it really give you a good indication of how to read your greens?
I think so. We have two practice greens, and I think both of them are quite quite accurate. There's a few holes that are a little bit more difficult to putt. Hole 8's a prime example. Every time I see a putt on hole 8, it breaks the opposite of what my eyes tell me. Because it's pitched up, it's pitched the opposite direction of a slope. So it really does kind of fool your eyes. And I think as you're out there and you're just looking at it, just make sure that you read it from both sides of the green or both sides of the cup. That way you can kind of get a better feel from where you're at. And you always want to keep in mind where Catalina Island is and where the water, the towers are above us. There's the Metropolitan Water District sits above us, because everything breaks from the water towers to Catalina Island. So when you keep that in mind, hopefully that'll help. If you have to choose one way or the other how a green's going to break, always keep that in mind. That usually will send you in the right direction.
Well, that's a phenomenal tip. Thank you. Because that's the kind of thing that if you're walking out there for the first time and you're playing with a local who, you know, hasn't played it that much or isn't that good, they may not be able to give you that kind of instruction. So let's go back onto the course. Let's start it now for the back nine. Hole number 11, handicap number 4. It's a par 4. What's our target?
Hole number 11 is a par 4. The target, this is actually, you know, it's kind of tough because the green sits kind of forward out there in front of your eye, but a little bit to the left. And as far the left you go, there's a hazard. There's a native habitat hazard that we have. It's an environmental hazard on the left-hand side. And the wind will blow right to left, too. So it kind of blows your ball into that native habitat. My goal is almost the right edge of the fairway, and I trust it, and I hit it, knowing that the gentle breeze and the slope will bring it back down to the middle of the fairway. So I aim towards the right center, right side of the fairway, and hit a trusting shot, and hopefully it ends up where I need it to be.
Trusting being the key word here.
Have confidence.
Well, yeah.
Find absolutely. It, bring it, and trust it. Yeah. But I think that where most people have a problem on like risk-reward type golf courses, or most golf courses in general, is they're not committed to a shot. And I think you need to find a target line, stay committed to that target line, and think of that target line the last thing you think of, and you'll hit there. But if you step up on a tee, you're not quite sure where you need to hit it, and then you swing, 9 times out of 10, you're going to hit it where you didn't want to hit it because it's the last thing you thought about.
Well, and also what I have found is that by the time you get to hole number 11, you pretty much have a sense of what you're doing that day. So you start beating yourself up on what you're not doing. So you start working on mechanics, mm-hmm. and you lose focus on what you're supposed to be doing, and that is playing the strategy of the course, not working on your mechanics.
Exactly.
That's for the driving range and the golf channel.
That is right. I think a playing lesson is the worst thing you could ever do to somebody.
Oh, absolutely. And again, that's the focus of Golf Smarter. We want to give you information that you can use when to walk out on the course. And also, that's the focus of T-Tour, our video companion to this. And someday, hopefully, Black Gold will have a T-Tour video that you can watch before you go out and play. Let's move on to hole number 13, par 5, handicap number 6.
This is it's a great hole, and it's one of the most rewarding and frustrating holes you'll ever play. The fairway, it's in front of you, and it kind of slopes up to about 265 yards off the tee, and it plateaus, and then it goes exactly, it's like a roller coaster almost. Then it goes back down into a valley, which is like where your landing area will be. It's a par 5. It's a three-shot hole for a lot of people. And then it goes back uphill again to the green. So there's some elevation change on the hole. If you're a real long hitter, you can actually take it to the crest of the hill and ride the slope all the way down to the second plateau.
How long of a hitter?
Valley. You probably need to hit a drive from the white tees, I would say, at least 230, 240. But if you can catch it, and then gravity will take over, and it'll roll your ball another 60, 70 yards.
Okay.
And if you do that, then you'll have an iron into a green. The iron shot will be off a downhill lie to a slightly elevated green, which is well bunkered and has some native habitat hazards around the front and to the left. So it's a great hole. If you hit a great drive and you hit it far enough, you can go for it in two. Let's say you don't hit the best drive or you're a little shorter hitter. Then you're left with a very difficult layup shot because the fairway is only about 15 to 20 yards wide.
Wow.
It gets a little wider as you get closer to the green. So what I recommend to a lot of people is that you hit whatever you can to keep it in the fairway, and then from there probably hit, instead of laying up with like an iron, lay up with more of a wood, because the farther you hit it, the wider the fairway becomes. And that's a nice tip, I think, that people don't normally know until they come out.
But really, your best chance is to try to get there in three.
I think so. Unless you hit it at least 250-plus yards very accurately, then I think you should probably attack the hole as more of a three-shot hole. Get it in the fairway, then you'll see how narrow the next shot becomes, and then from there you'll have a little bit more of a fighting chance.
And the green is a normal size for the course?
The green's actually a little bit larger. There's a false front, so don't be fooled. The first 10 yards of it on the front corner actually isn't much playing surface because it slopes right off and the ball will roll off. And then once you get up top to the plateau, it's actually a green that has a little bit more slope from back to front than most of the other greens, but you definitely can do some good with it. So I'd recommend that you, if you are hitting an iron shot into it, try to focus more on a middle pin to a back, or middle yardage to a back yardage, because the front yardages can be kind of tricky. You'll hit the front and the false slope, it'll roll right off.
So even if you have a pin up front, you're saying put it up in the middle of the green and work
backwards? Yeah, go for the middle of the green, because the false front will get you every time.
And let's take to the finishing hole now, which is the second handicap hole. It's also a par 5. A great way to end your course?
I think so. It's a beautiful hole. You hit it kind of through a chute. It's framed on the right side by a couple of fairway bunkers, which once you hit into, you can't go for it in two. The left-hand side has a little bit of a slope that slopes back down towards the fairway. We have a lot of rough on that hill up there, so if you hit it up there, the ball usually stays up there. So I recommend that you aim at the two fairway bunkers and you try to work it off of that. either you hit a draw or if you're left-handed, hit a fade. The fairway usually plays pretty hard and fast, so if you get a ball in the fairway rolling, it'll actually turn out better than if you try to hit a ball that lands in the rough and kicks back to the fairway. If you hit a drive, probably 250, 270, it'll give you an opportunity to go for the green in two. There is a large lake and a waterfall feature to the right side of the green, so it does make it very difficult approach shot, because if you're afraid of water like I am, it makes you want to pull the ball left of the green. Unfortunately, to the left of the green is the out of bounds. So it does get a little bit more narrow. There are some surrounds or some mounding behind the green. I always recommend that you focus in the center of the mounding and try to hit your ball there, because that's a more positive thought than trying not to hit it out of bounds or in a lake.
So again, a good idea to try to get there in three and not go for it.
You know what? I think so, but then again, you only have a couple opportunities probably, or most of us don't get to play black gold every day. So I recommend that you hit maybe two shots, one you lay up on and one you go and try to discover some black gold.
I like that.
No.
You've done that one before, I bet.
I have a few times.
Now that we've told everybody about the course, how are they going to get there? What's the best way to make a reservation? Should they go
the
online?
The best way to make a reservation is to go to blackgoldgolf.com, and you can book online. Or give us a call at 714-961-0060, and one of our reservationists will get you taken care of right away.
Eric, thanks for the tips.
No problem. Thank you guys for including us.
That's Eric Lohman, Director of Golf for Black Gold Golf Club at Orange County, California. And while you're on the web, please investigate our video companion to Golf Smarter. It's called T-Tour. T-Tour is an 18-hole shot-by-shot guide of where to hit and why for resort and destination courses. It's a very simple concept. When you know the course, you lower your score. And that's why we're here to help you golf smarter. I'm Fred Green.